You're listening to Unique Leaders Podcast. I'm Megan DiMartino. Success is in the story. Each week, I'll be speaking with a unique leader, not only in their field, but in their lives. Join us for a glimpse of their passion and talents. There's always a surprise in their story. Be the first to hear. Hello again. It is Friday and it is Unique Leaders Live. I'm Megan DiMartino and I am so excited to have my guest Darlene Templeton is joining us today on Unique Leaders Live. And Darlene is not only a dear friend of mine, but she is truly a unique leader. And as we always share on Fridays on Unique Leaders, basically we are all unique and we are all leaders. But over time, people have said to me, I could never do what you do, or how did you do what you do? And I realized that it is important for you to realize that the success is in the story. We don't just end up doing a podcast or a live. It has started years and years ago with our stories. And so that success and that journey is in Darlene's story. Darlene will share her story, but she's been a pioneer in truly in the IBM data processing world, which was a man's world, and she will share that with you, and on and on to what she's doing today with the amazing Women's Alliance that I am also part of. So without further ado, I would like to introduce to you my dear friend, Darlene Templeton.
Oh, my goodness, Megan.
Hello, Darlene. Hello, hello.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. I've been looking forward to this ever since you invited me. Thank you so much. And I am just so excited. So I can't wait. I'm so honored.
Well, you know, Darlene, as I shared in the opening, we all have a story, all of us, all of our guests watching, anyone that is going to watch this on replay, on podcast, that we all have a story. And there's nothing special about us other than we didn't stop. We started and we didn't stop. That is the only differential between you and I and someone else saying, I wish I could do what they do. And so what we want to do in Unique Leaders is to share your story so that people can glean that information and see themselves in your story. Okay? So we're going to go back to young Darlene, the formative years. And where did you grow up? And a little bit about your family and your background. Where did it all start?
Oh my gosh, Megan, I love it. I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas, and you and I have that connection from Fort Worth as well. We probably passed in the night and didn't even know it in the day. Sure. I was born and raised in Fort Worth. I'm the third child of my mom and dad. My older brother and sister, 8 and 10 years older than me. So I was kind of like the oldest and kind of the next child, if you will. Mm-hmm. My father was a big entrepreneur. He only had an 8th grade education, but he owned a service station, a garage, a cafe, a boat dealership, a U-Haul. He was the man involved in everything. And he was all about customer service and helping others. And I basically grew up in the service station.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so this was in Fort Worth, Texas. Yep. And then you lived there for your high school years as well?
Yeah. Well, I graduated high school in Fort Worth and got married very quickly after high school. And then some things changed. And I was actually going to go back to college to get my degree. And I decided that I was going to go ahead and take an opportunity to go to work. So I literally was driving down the street in Fort Worth, the Malik Tower, and I saw this big sign that said IBM. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to try this. And I literally walked in that day. That was many, many years ago. But I was in jeans and t-shirts in 1974 to walk into IBM.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. It was terribly frightening.
But oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I mean, I do recall where the Malik Tower was, or is probably still. But to have the, as they say in New York, the chutzpah to walk in there and get an application, I'm sure is what you did. Yes.
I did. I walked in, I got an application. They wanted to interview me the next day. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I interviewed the next day and they literally hired me 3 days later. So that was in 1974. So that started a huge change for me. Working at IBM was so amazing and so challenging, but mm-hmm. so amazing. And it really changed the trajectory of my life and how I lead today.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this. So from finishing high school and getting married, did you do anything else before the IBM?
I did. I worked at the utility company. And so that's really where I got I honed a lot of my skills, very customer relate, you know, customer relationships, very focused on delivering value to the customer. Mm-hmm. So that was my first real job in the business world. So I hate to say it, Megan, but I'm going to. I've been in this business world about 50 years. I was Absolutely. Six when I started. Six, though. Don't anybody do the math. So I'm actually very proud of that because yeah. I've really learned a lot in this business world and seen a lot of changes.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're about the same age. I'm a little older and you just had a birthday. So happy birthday.
Thank you. It was awesome.
It was your birthday month. But, you know, I look at my age as not a negative. And quite frankly, Darlene, being interviewed by other people, as I am on some of these podcasts, what I recognize is that people really respect that we have this experience. It's not a negative. It's actually a positive.
Not at all. It's no. funny, Megan. People say, why do you say how old you are? And I said, I'm excited to say that. I'm proud of what I've been able to do 36 years at IBM. And really, you know, I've been retired for 10, not retired. I'm playing yeah. it in retired, yeah. but yeah. I left IBM. But I'm very proud of that because I've seen a lot of change. I've been mm-hmm. through a lot of change. I've overcome huge obstacles. But more than that, I've got so much experience and met so yeah. many awesome people. It's right. just been a great opportunity.
So let's go back, though, to that era in the 70s, because my first husband was an IBMer, as you know, and he was in White Plains at the main headquarters there, and we lived in Connecticut. So I have that connection also with you. But I do remember the 70s and IBM and his life. And so tell us a little bit about the business world, being a woman in IBM, and a little bit about just a time capsule of that.
It was a very interesting opportunity for me. I was generally, because I moved up very quickly in the business, so I was generally the only female, mm-hmm. generally the youngest female, and I'm also American Indian, so I was the only minority, if you will, so I was a female minority, and I would be sitting in these conference rooms with almost all the time until a little bit later, all men. So it was a different era, and you just had to learn. You learn things differently. You still needed to perform. You still needed to move forward, and you really just still needed to do the things that you do and do the best that you can. But times were different then. And so we just had to learn. And IBM was very progressive in many ways, mm-hmm. and it wasn't as progressive in other ways. Okay. Yeah. So that was the interesting thing about it. Very progressive in some and very not so progressive in others. But mm-hmm. I really learned. And that for me was the best education ever. I always say I have a PhD from IBM.
Yes.
Perseverance, hard work, and determination.
Oh, I love it. Put that in the text, Elizabeth. PhD from IBM. Say yeah. it again.
Perseverance, because you had to persevere, especially as a woman in the early days. Hard work, because it was a lot of work. It was a 24/7 job. And determination, you just can't give up and you can't let anybody stop you. That's one of the things I learned.
I don't think that has changed one iota. So I love that. That's why I'm going to steal that from you.
Go ahead.
Though I always give everyone credit. But the other thing, though, before we leave this point, I truly, like I just said, the PhD of growing and evolving, even though things look differently, I truly believe that premise is the same. It truly is. But we'll get back to that. But the other thing I wanted to ask you about this experience is you walked in that door in your jeans and t-shirt and were technically, I assume, and I'm asking, you were applying for a secretarial job. Yes.
I was at that point. And I was. And when I walked into the Malik Tower, five floors of IBM, never dreaming, I don't know what I was thinking, I was going to run in and grab an application and run out. And I started in and I was surrounded by white shirts, blue suits and wingtips, women and men. Yeah. I said, nope, you're doing this. I was 22 years old. I jumped on that elevator and now I'm feeling like this. And they're looking at me like, whoa, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. And there was a woman who extended her hand to me when I walked in the door, set me down, interviewed me. I came back the next day and just aced the interview. And that trajectory changed at that moment. But I'll tell you, don't be so afraid, because there was many moments when I almost turned around and walked out that door. And if I had done that, I wouldn't be sitting here with you today.
Not at all. Exactly right. Exactly right. So you stayed in Fort Worth, or did you move with IBM, or did you move in your personal life?
What I moved all over with IBM. I became a manager very quickly. Mm-hmm. And then I ran a sales organization in El Paso. Then I was running an international project called the Maquiladora Project, where we were doing business. It was the fair trade where we were doing business. And I ran that project because we were in El Paso. And I ended up getting promoted to go to Latin America headquarters in New York. So I went from El Paso, Texas to New York. It was awesome.
Yes.
We were in the Tarrytown, actually in the, mm-hmm. it was called the Tarrytown office, was where the World Trade headquarters was. Mm-hmm. And yes, and I see that, Sherry Matthews, we still do bleed blue. Exactly. And so I was so blessed. I traveled all over. I did international marketing. We set up a program that in Latin America that was the model, if you will, for how we did international business with IBM. So I was very excited to be a part of that. It was awesome. And then I moved to Florida and back to Carolina. And then we actually came home to Texas 18 years ago because my big old kids and my grandbabies are here and we wanted to be near them.
So during this, from Texas to El Paso to New York to Florida, working on all these national and international projects, you were a mother. You just mentioned your babies and so forth. So you were a single mother?
Well, they're my bonus babies. I was a single woman traveling because I was fortunate to find the true love of my life 23 years ago. And I got my amazing two boys and two amazing daughter-in-laws and four incredible grandkids. So I call it the bonus mom. And I'm so fortunate. So I was single, traveling around all over the world, and I bought more houses than I have cars in my life. So,
wow, I'm sure I knew that. I knew about marrying later and your bonus family, but putting that in perspective, also. Because I, too, was traveling the United States, not the world, all through the 80s and the 90s. And it was such a great experience. I mean, I really, like you said, it was your PhD, but it was also such a great life experience to see the United States and the world and have that point of reference.
To put that in perspective, Megan, I'd never been on an airplane before I went to work for IBM. And when they told me I was going to Atlanta to class, I was just a kid. I said, well, am I going to drive? My boss fell out of his chair laughing. So to say it changed my life. And, then it was such a great experience. It was a life experience and such a great business experience to see how people all over the world do business and they'll learn the different cultures. So for me, it was just awesome.
And the other essence of this to me for our viewers is that, and I'd like you to spend a minute about this. I've known you long enough to know you, but to the viewer, they'd say, well, this woman is fearless. Talk about your just how you felt during this. I mean, was there any, you said you would have many times wanted to walk away, but just expound upon that a bit.
Fearless is an interesting word. Mm-hmm. I think you can be fearless and still be terrified. Okay. I think you can be fearless and still be terrified. And people always say, you're so confident. I'm just like everybody else. I wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh my gosh, what if nobody shows at our event? Mm-hmm. You know, or what if, did I do all that correct? So I think there's a difference. And I think I learned this as a young, young child, you know, to say, you may be scared, but go ahead. Okay, go ahead and stick your feet in the water, stick your toe in the water, be smart about it, but make good choices, but don't let that fear stop you, but make sure you're looking around at the risk. I was also single, traveling all over the world back then, and I don't think I had a moment to think about any of that. I just didn't. And my mother was always nervous. You're going where? I'm like, Mom, I'm okay, I'm good. But I think it's the fearlessness. It's not fearlessness. I think it's determination. And I think it's that you're going after something. Don't let the obstacles or really get yourself out of the way. Because I can be my own worst enemy and get in my way if I let my fear get me sometimes. Does that help? Does that make sense, Megan, on how to do that? That's my whole thought. I've always lived my life just kind of pushing through and dealing with that scariness and that when it comes up and going, okay, we're going, follow your gut and just go.
But, you know, you just mentioned when you said when I was a child. So you started earlier sharing about your dad and a major entrepreneur with an eighth grade. So he pushed through a lot of his own challenges of thinking, was I good enough? Was I smart enough? Could I do this? And so you saw that through your dad and how they conducted their lives. And it gave you I'm saying this personally, but I'm sure that gave you confidence to jump off and walk in there with your jeans. I can just see Darlene. I can see you walking in there with your jeans and your t-shirt, you know, asking for an application, but you continue to push through that through every other experience. And I do believe personally, not only people I've interviewed, but people that I have had the blessing to know that if you don't start, nothing will happen, but if you stop, it will end. Right, and so it is about continuing on that dream and goal and desire.
And I love that. And one thing, Megan, that I learned at IBM, because they said we could never do the international project we did, that we could never get them to change. The answer is always no if you don't ask. And I think my dad must have taught us that because he never took no for an answer. They said, you can't do this. He's like, watch. You know, and he just did and built a very successful business. And what I learned from him is if you help people, you have to give to get. And that was something he taught us. You give first, my mother too, you give first, and then it comes back. And I think that takes some of that fear away is if you stay in that giving and that servant leadership role of always serving others first, then it will always come back to you and you'll be surrounded by the people that'll help you achieve your goals and your dreams.
Absolutely.
Like you helping me today. Thank you so much.
Well, it's my pleasure. But that is truly, this started, I'll just share with you. There's a gal that we know, Stephania, who is a videographer, and she has a son who, she's done a lot of work with some of the gals in Austin, and she has a son who has some health conditions. And so because of that, she has become very attuned to alternative medical folks, practitioners. And Easter time, and the world was locked down, and she put on Facebook that she was starting a directory for these practitioners. And I messaged her, and I said, we were playing around with StreamYard by this point, and we were having my staff on, and we were doing all sorts of fun things, but also doing my little lives. But I asked Stephanie if she'd like to be, you know, on and share about her new directory. And she said, oh, I'd love to. So with that, I brought her back to the, because I'm my father's daughter. I like to know about people and whence they came. And so I started asking about herself and, you know, just her own evolution. And people just loved it. And it was like, wow, we've struck something here. And it really is about you, but it is also about us helping others see that they can do this too.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. I love that. Great way to start and a great thing that you're doing. I love it. I love, love, love it.
Well, good. I'm glad you do. Because again, I could go on and on about you and I, but it's not about us. It's about you. So now you've met your heart link of your life, and you have inherited your babies and your family, and you now move back to Texas. Or what, tell us about coming back here, because you obviously came back here.
Yes, we moved back to Austin. My husband got a new job. He had 8 states, and I was working remotely back then from IBM, managing a huge project, international project with about 100 people. I was an executive reporting to me. I'd managed for 30 years of my life at IBM. Mm-hmm. And I did work for the good, the bad, the ugly, and the very best leaders in the entire world. I was so fortunate. But I also saw what I knew that were not great leaders, and I didn't want to be that type of leader. But we came back. So we were here. And I retired 10 years ago. I knew exactly what I wanted to do when I retired. So those last few years were mobile and remote, different than it is today. But mm-hmm. still, my whole team was remote at that point. Mm-hmm. So we came back and I retired 10 years ago, officially retired from IBM. And that's when I started my business and I knew exactly what I wanted to do.
So 10 years ago, this is 2021 now, so it was around 11, correct?
Yeah, actually, it was 10. It'll be 11 years in March. I just realized it's 21. It'll be 11 years, March 31st.
Because I met you personally in somewhere in the 7-8 era. Yeah, right. I met you, yes. So you had not retired yet at that time, okay. And then I personally had to pull back from the world. And then God connected us again in 2017.
Yeah.
Literally walked back into my business and my life. And so at that point, you had already started your now company. So why don't you share with our guests what your company is, what you do, and like you said, you knew exactly what you wanted to do. Share the why of that. Okay. Why do you know? And how did you start? And from there.
Okay. I was coaching at IBM. They had partnered with the largest coaches training school in the world. It's called CTI, Coaches Training Institute. IBM did that and they let the high potentials and the managers and executives go through the coaching program because they wanted to build the coaching. IBM always had a coaching culture, but they really wanted to solidify that coaching culture. So I started coaching. I was coaching anyway as a manager and executive, but we called it that, but it wasn't the true meaning of coaching, definition of coaching today. I did it. Lots of others did. So they allowed us to go through the 6-month training program with CTI. Then it takes 6 more months to get certified. And then I went through a year-long leadership course through CTI, Coaches Training Institute. And we had 500 certified and trained coaches at IBM. That wasn't our full-time job. But our give back, they paid for that. Our give back was to coach, and I coached lots of the IBM executives. I coached lots of the teams. And what we found, and that was why they kept coming back to us, is the organizations that had coaches for their first line, second lines, and their executives were killing everybody else because their retention rates were better, their morale rates. So that was awesome. And at IBM, you're always on your feet. Every 30 seconds, it's like, Darlene, you're presenting to 250 people. Get up. It's your turn. You know, so I've been a public speaker, and my mother would tell you, I started talking full sentences at 18 months and never shut up, which mm-hmm. is probably true. Mm-hmm. And I was always that leader in school, talking, speech, president of the class, doing all that kind of stuff. So being in front of people didn't bother me. So I knew I wanted to speak because I wanted to give back and share what I'd learned. I had some great mentors and great leaders through my career at IBM. I wanted to give back what I'd learned there and help other upcoming leaders, especially women, mm-hmm. learn and bypass some of the mistakes and things that I learned. And then I knew that I wanted to start this coaching business because everybody is going through transition. And so I say I'm in the business. Templeton and Associates is in the business of success and growth. And who doesn't want to be more successful? And how can I help you? But I'm really in the business of passion and leadership and giving back. And that's what I love doing.
I have a question. Just came to me as you're speaking about the last period of time at IBM. And you shared a piece. You know, you finished high school and then married young, and you said that. And then you went into the corporate world, you know, walking in with your jean and t-shirt. But you didn't go to college.
Correct.
I'd like you to, before you go into this next phase that you're starting, because there, I hear often, I didn't go to college. I hear it less today, and I'm sure you do too, mm-hmm. because of the internet and the availability of information, and also the motivation. It's a different world, as you and I have both said. It was a very, very different world for women, certainly. But it does not seem to me, listening to you, that that was ever one point in your spirit that would have held, that held you back.
The only time it held me back was when I let it, okay? When you're sitting in a room and there are people with MIT and Harvard and UCLA and UT, and they've got a guy, I actually had a guy that had a PhD and two people that had two masters. A lot of the people had masters that worked for me. Mm-hmm. And I only had one guy that was a PhD that worked for me over the years. The only time it held me back, Megan, and honestly, was when I let it. You know, and it did, sure. It did, in all honesty, it did keep me from going any higher than I did at IBM because I couldn't compete on paper anymore. You know, by the time I got to the level, I couldn't compete on paper because if you're looking at somebody that's got a Harvard MBA and me, even though I can do the job, that doesn't take you to, but that was fine. I was so fortunate to get to do what I did. Mm-hmm. But I had to work on that. And that's a little bit of finding that confidence. Mm-hmm. And what I am finding is you have to make your own breaks. Okay. You have to take advantage of those situations and move those obstacles out of your way. And you can't let that hold you back. No. And I think we hold ourselves back when we rely on that. So
word. And that's why I wanted to go back to that, darling. Yeah. Because there are many, many people, not just women. I have been, as I said, been very blessed to be on some podcasts in the last couple of months. And a lot of these folks are people that had been in corporate jobs and lost their jobs. And they're reinventing themselves. And I have an associate's degree. And that's it, you know, and then I just trucked along. And the bottom line is it's within. Right. And, you know, so they're interviewing me and I end up sharing with them. They'll say, how did you do this? And I'm like, it's your own, you know, your own dream, your own goal, your own desire. So maybe it's a true blessing that you got fired, because if you hated that job, it's time to move on.
Well, and I think we have to make those breaks. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, in the early days, I had to really get myself through it. But, you know, what you do is you find what you're so great at, and then you just leverage that. We're not all great at everything. Find those strengths. I always talk about, what are your leadership strengths? And I get this look, like I ask them what your top three links are, and everybody goes, you know, and so you have to know that. So you leverage that and then leverage your team and then just rock it. You just have to rock it and roll it. And we're all scared. I will tell you, we're all scared. We all wake up in the night going, yikes. But you have to figure out how to get through that and make that charge, mm-hmm. and get those, just remove those obstacles, get them out of your path. Mm-hmm. Somebody calls them turning over big rocks. And I don't know who that is, but somebody says, turn over those big rocks and just jump over them.
Mm-hmm. And jump over them. Exactly right. So now let's go back. So you have, you know, been doing this amazing training, essentially, you know, for your next career step, so to speak, not in IBM, right. Your next career step. And so you then decided to retire. As you said, you knew exactly what you're going to do. You were putting that business plan together, right. Started Templeton Associates, and in 2010. And so what a blessing to have you mentor individuals with all of this life experience and very unique life experience. And that's truly why this is called Unique Leaders, because we're all unique and everyone has a story, but yours is truly very, very unique.
Megan, thank you. And the one thing I didn't say is the second part of my company, mm-hmm. what is called Amazing Women Alliance. Well, and it's really focused, It's really focused on women, and it's about women supporting women. No mean girls allowed, and Megan can tell you she has supported me from day one. And if there's one mean girl that walks in, we're too kind and too nice. They never stay. They may come once and go. We're all about supporting. And there's something I love. It says, be the woman that straightens your friend's crown instead of telling people it's crooked. I think that's what our group does, is we straighten your crown, we hold you up, we're there. But it's an amazing group of women to support each other, because we all need support, both personally and professionally. And then I do a group called Amazing Women Leaders, which is a 6-month leadership program. Oh my gosh, these women are my heart. These women are, I get to stay with them for 6 months. And once I get you, and Megan will tell you, I kind of never let you out of my sight. You kind of just grow with us. Mm-hmm. But who doesn't want a job that's surrounded by some of the most amazing women and men on the planet? And I get to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love what I do. So that's the second half. I do the speaking, the coaching, a lot of the leadership training. But the women's group, Amazing Women Leaders, allows me to really mentor and give back.
And so this the version of Amazing Women Alliance, that, how long into from retirement did you take until you started that?
This is our 5th annual. Is this right? Or is it our 6th?
I think it's 6, darling.
I kind of lost 2020. It's our 6th annual birthday is in March. Woohoo!
Yes.
It was actually November 6 years ago that I said, I'm going to do this. I'm making this happen. And we did. And we kicked off in March. And I'll be honest with you, Megan, I think you were there at the March kickoff. I said, Terry, I know you were. I said, what if nobody comes? There won't be anybody here. There were 73 people at our kickoff in March of whatever 6 years ago was, 2015, I guess. And so we will be 6 years officially this March. And we always have a birthday bash. And Megan, thank you for your amazing support. You have always supported us since we reconnected and been such a big supporter. And we're going to do something this year. It's going to be different, mm-hmm. but we will still have a birthday bash in whatever form we decide. So thank you for that reminder. 6 years. Yay. Thank you.
I knew that it wasn't right out the chute. I knew that. And I knew that myself and my company, Novitas Spa, were sponsors. We had a booth. And I knew that was the first year. So I knew that that was in 2010, because I knew where I was in 2010. Sherry, as you just mentioned, Sherry Matthews, who's on. She basically... well, not just she, but you and she put together the October event for the Amazing Women Alliance. And, you know, one of the things that I see very clearly, and I'm going to have you share this point about the word swizzle, but here was a very unique / challenging year. And instead of not doing things, you were creative and created new ways to do it. And I just loved how you did the October event. And share not as much just about the October event, which I want you to do, but also how your mindset of how you changed that. And I'm sure I did. Now, did you do the same thing for the March event, or was it just so caught up in the
lockdown? The March event was early. The March event was literally February 26th, and we closed down March 6th. So we were like done.
Yeah. But I thought that, I mean, my memory holds me that that didn't happen. But the October event, on some level, is how you're going to continue on and swizzle. So share about that.
Well, first of all, the swizzle, just so everybody knows, if I hear the word pivot, I know everybody, we have to pivot. We need to pivot. Pivot to me says left, right, front, center, very rigid. Swizzle, and I didn't make it up. I heard it somewhere, and we don't know where it came from. Swizzle says I can swizzle, I can turn, I can come back, but it gives me, to me, it's a much more flexible term because we don't know what's ahead. Mm-hmm. And new normal, I don't even want to say new normal. I say next, what's next, okay? We have to look at those. But we always had in-person events, 200, 250, our big bashes with our sponsors and people everywhere. And so we always have, we support breast cancer. We support an organization called Gifting Care that has given these amazing shirts that Sherry created, the Heal and Comfort shirt. Oh my gosh. And she's put that on the backs of 40,000 patients. And we are so fortunate to work with Gifting Care, which is a separate charity that provides those amazing Heal and Comfort shirts so that women and men can heal and comfort during breast cancer. Breast cancer is my heart. It's hit my family. It's hit everybody. It's 1 in 8 women. And we are fortunate to be able to give back and those put those shirts on people, okay, that need it. And they free of charge. We give them to them. And it's like a hug, a virtual hug. In fact, I'm going to be delivering one this weekend. So we're keeping up with that. But we, our breast cancer event is our big fundraiser. We had shirts and T-shirts and hats and those beanies that I didn't like. That didn't, and everybody bought the beanie. Everybody loved the stocking caps. But with Sherry's help and with my team's help and lots of people on our team helped us get this done, we were able to have a very successful organization. We've raised for Gifting Care somewhere close to, and we're still, the numbers are still growing, somewhere over 20,000 plus. Wow. To give back. And that's, remember, that's people that need it the most at the time they wake up to these shirts. Mm-hmm. So we decided that we needed to do an event. And I've said this from day one, I can't have you feeling like you're on Zoom all the time because we get all this Zoom fatigue. We dance, we wear hats, we wear this, we wear that. You know, I'll show you my shoes. You know, I'm barefoot today, or I'd show you my shoes today, but I should have put them on, dang it. But we dance, we sing, we do something different. But we want you to feel like you're really there with us, not on Zoom all the time. And I believe that's why our event was so successful. And we also had breast cancer patients in all different forms talk to us about their journey, but also how we help them with their shirts and how they turn something terrible, as Sherry Matthews did, into something extremely positive. Amen. So Sherry, we can't thank you enough for that. But Megan, to that, that's why I believe that breast cancer event is always so special for us.
Yeah, absolutely, Darlene. And hopefully Sherry will be on Unique Leaders soon. We're talking about that too, so she can share her story.
Amazing.
But the other piece to it is that there's so many quote unquote summits, and one of the things, and I've attended quite a few, one to glean information, but two to observe how people are doing it, and the ones that are, in my opinion, that conducted more like what you did with panels, with groups, with breakouts, I guess it was called, are, to me, are the more interesting because it's not just, like you said, the Hollywood squares. It's very unique. It's very well done. It was very well done.
Thank you. I think people have to feel involved. Mm-hmm. And hey, Deborah, I see you out there loving that term swizzle. I think people need to feel that they see you. You know, and one of the things that's kind of my theme this year, I've been presenting a lot. It's my thing, my speech that everybody wants me to. It's the workshop that everybody wants. It's called Confident Leadership Through Chaos. Mm-hmm. And it really talks about show up, speak up, connect up, and follow up. We got to do that in this virtual world. And I think that is so important. People just want it right now. I think we all need to be seen and heard.
Would you repeat that, please?
Okay. It's called show up. Get those cameras on. Don't be hiding behind that camera on Zoom. Speak up. Make sure your voice is heard, and don't let the extroverts like me try to take up the whole floor, okay? Get in there and let your voice be heard. Be curious and ask questions and ask what's going on, and be curious and get prepared. When you're going into a Zoom meeting, especially a business one, kind of know what you're going in for. Mm-hmm. Connect up. Please connect. You know, I can't tell you, people will say, oh my gosh, I'd love to connect with you. And then you send them an email and it's like they ghost you. That's fine. But I always say make 2 dates. So make two dates. So if you're watching this today and there's people on here that you would like to connect with, send them a private message and do a little Zoom chat, or connect with people and then follow up. The money and the connections are in the follow up. So that's kind of my new, that's a real short version. I speak a lot more about distractions and stuff, but I feel like, and y'all are all too young, Megan, you're even too young. There was a commercial in Southwestern Bell years and years ago, and they had this big white telephone, and they've got it on their arm, and they're going, reach out and touch someone, tell someone that you care. That's not the right jingle, but that was the gist, and I always want to go back to that. Zoom, phone, Zoom, text and email are not the same as calling and saying. And so don't ever send, and y'all, those of you that know me well, please don't send me a long text because I'm going to just pick the phone up and call you. When you text with one thumb, not very easy to text more than a few words and a bunch of emojis. So that's kind of reach out and touch someone. Make that your homework today. Call somebody that you haven't talked to. Follow up with somebody that may have not looked so great on your last business meeting. Find out if they're okay. Just reach out and touch people because we all want to be heard and seen and felt. Maya Angelou says this, and then this is my favorite. People won't remember what you said or what you did. They'll remember how you made them feel.
That's one of my favorites too. Yes. And it's, I knew that Darlene Folks was going to be full of tangible, applicable information that you would be able to utilize. And one of the things I have done, same difference what you're saying, is I've met more people, and this is only because I've done what you said. I'll be reading someone's comment. It's not the person. You've done the thing, but it's people that have commented and someone made a comment to you that has so resonated with me. I then look them up. I then put a friend request in. Then they, accept it and we are off to the races.
I love that.
I've met more people that way in the last 8 months and a few people that have been on this Unique Leaders. Because I've done just that. So it's, listen to your inner voice. If somebody is, resonating, and again, it's back to what we said about college, no college, this and that. It's that following your heart and walk in that door with the jeans and t-shirt, or whatever, but just do it.
Right? Just do it. That's
and,
right.
So when that jingle would have been on your airwaves, I was in New York. I was on Long Island, but it must have been a national thing because I remember that, reach out and touch someone. And it applies today as well. It truly does. Now you have your glasses on. I don't, but I just, one of the things that we always close with is, I'm sure you've read 3 Feet from Gold. And it's a wonderful book by Sharon Lecter and Greg Reed. And I know Sherry is, if she's still on, she's a fan of it and the success formula. But the story itself so resonates with not only myself, but millions and millions of people. But it's a story about a guy that was from, the East Coast and went, during the gold rush and West and bought a vein, the beginning part of the book, the story, and then it went into more of a fiction, but biographical-ish. But anyhow, this man went West and bought a gold vein and was chipping away at it and got very discouraged. Very discouraged. And the townies were watching him, and this was not his milieu. He was just seeking gold. And he chipped away and chipped away. And finally, he gave up. He literally gave up. And he sold that vein, that potential, to a townie. And that person continued on. And in 3 feet, he struck gold.
Wow.
Okay. And so how many times have we gotten to a place in our lives? You said it earlier. How many times you wanted to leave for various reasons, probably a creepy boss to different circumstances, but you were thinking, is this worth it? Whatever you were thinking, but you were, how many times have we come to a place where we were ready to give up, but we were 3 feet from gold. That's why I always say you have to start. But if you truly believe in what you're doing, you cannot stop because you're going to have to start all over again. But in this book, Sharon Lecter has put together what she calls her success formula. And it is passion plus talent times association times action plus faith equals success. Now, I'm not going to ask you all of those points, but what I would like you to expound upon and share from your heart, what is your passion and what is your talent?
My passion is serving others. My question that I always ask is, how can I help you? My passion is, we were raised to do that. That's what I've always done, is give back and give to someone. And even when, even when there wasn't a lot of money, we still always gave back. So that's what I've always learned. I think my talent is seeing the gifts in others. I can look and spend a moment with you, and I can see, I've always been blessed to see your talents and help you develop and leverage those strengths. And I love that because I get to see things sometimes before you do. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, Megan, you are really great at that. And you'll go, really? And then you start to think about it. I believe that's my talent. I think the other talent, Megan, is making people feel like they're seen and heard. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I hope that's it. I hope I'm saying that, but that's what I believe. And that's my passion, is helping others, mm-hmm. helping others and giving back.
You know, I never really expound upon the other person's passion and talent in this, but because I know you the way I know you, I can actually see you doing that in IBM, meaning that's your superpower.
My superpower.
It is your superpower.
Because my superpower.
You can see that person and their strengths, and you just raise them up in that. Yes.
Thank you. I always got all the broken projects, the broken teams, and it was wonderful, but I'm fortunate and I'm blessed. And I think that's my father and my mom, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah. I'm blessed and I'm the lucky one. I keep saying that I'm the lucky one.
It is. Well, we're the lucky ones to have you today with us.
Thank you, darling. Thank you so much.
Honestly, what is your next event coming up?
Well, our next event is the 2nd of February, and I call it speed dating. It's actually speed networking. And we do that to where you get to connect with a lot of different women in the group. So you get to know other people, again, make those connections. And we do two events a month. We have a happy hour and we do breakouts. And so that one's our next one. And then we are doing our summit. We're working on the date. Most likely it'll be April, and it's not summit yet. I don't know why I said that. I don't know what the event's going to be. We're working on some options, but I'm very excited about that. I can't wait. It will be virtual, whatever we finalize to do. So I'm excited.
But it will be somewhat like your anniversary.
It will be. Yeah. It'll be somewhat like, that'll be our anniversary. It'll be 6 years. Mm-hmm. It'll just be a little bit later because of all the things that are going on in March.
Okay. Well, we have all of your information. It will go in to the text. So ladies and gentlemen, please do contact Darlene and her amazing women. Do you have men in the organization?
Where there's a couple events, I'm not excluding men, that you men get to come to. So just text me, call me, do whatever, and we'll figure all that out. And I'd love to have coffee with anybody that would like to do that. But yes, and you can just look on my website as well. We're not excluding y'all as well. That's what we always say. Y'all get to come to the big events. So we would love to.
Well,
Megan, thank you so much for having me today. It has been such an honor. I want to thank everybody that's tuned in and joined us today. Remember, swizzle, swizzle, swizzle. But please let me know how I can help you. And thank you for those that are going to be watching us. I so appreciate it. Megan, you are amazing. So I just so appreciate the opportunity today.
Well, you hang tight in the green room and I'll be back.
Okay. Thank you. Woo! Have an awesome weekend, an awesome day, and you are unique. Mwah. Thank you.
Wow, wow, wow. Are we not blessed to have had Darlene Templeton today with us? And do I truly suggest going to her website and also friending she, but also her group. And there is a group for Amazing Women Alliance, and get involved because it is a wonderful group. I am involved with it, and it has blessed me, and she has blessed me. So I truly suggest that you do. And so I would like to ask you a favor. And as Darlene said, how can I help you? I feel truly that this information from these amazing people like Darlene is a wonderful opportunity to learn, to grow, and to really glean from their experiences. And there's always, I mean, she had so many wonderful, tangible, applicable tools that she shared in this. And we will put them in the text. But not only to those pieces, but the whole general, if you've missed some of this, but also if you could share this, if you could share this out with your friends, tag your friends, but share it also, and then go to my YouTube page. It's already streaming there live, or it has been, it's still live, but it's Megan DiMartino, and subscribe to it. I truly, truly would appreciate, because we have to get to a certain level where it really reaches other people, or more people, I should say. And then in about a week, this will be a podcast on all of the platforms such as iTunes and Spotify and so forth. So you'll be able to work out at the gym and listen to Miss Darlene at any time. So we truly invite you to do that. And you can also go to my website, megandimartino.com, and these are there as well. And the podcasts are linked to, at this point, linked to YouTube. So there's many ways to continue to listen to all of these unique leaders. Sharon Lecter was with me last week, and Greg Reed was with me, and Glenn Lundy, and many very unique leaders. Very exciting to be able to, and very blessed to be able to just listen and share, have them share their stories with you. So we will see you next week when we have a very special guest, actually, and his name is Rick Austin, and he is the, very unique story. He can share that with you, and you'll read that in the text, but he has been he went to West Point, he's been in the military for 30 years, and he has an amazing wife, Nick Austin, and a beautiful family, but what he has done and his heart is truly a treasure to listen to, and their journey together also has been truly unique. So with that said, have a wonderful weekend and be blessed.
Thank you for listening to the Unique Leaders Podcast. If we said something today that resonated with you, please connect with me at megandimartino.com. I have a free gift for you, my book, Hope and Possibilities Just Over the Horizon. It's never too early or too late to create the life of your dreams. And don't forget to head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. I would truly appreciate it. Be blessed.